In my heart a song is ringing, echoing God's love. Evermore a voice is singing, mercy to proclaim. All these songs, I love them well, that speak of things above. What most do I delight to praise the Savior's precious name, Jesus. Oh, what a name.
Hour greets you once again. Your speaker today is John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas, and I'd like to call special attention to some very interesting things found in the Word of God, and they of course concern the outstanding personage, the subject of the Scriptures from the very first page to the end, namely our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'd like to see a few Scriptures that tell us about His virgin birth, His virtuous life, His vicarious death, His victorious resurrection, and then, thank God, last but not least, His visible return. Now, if you don't mind, we shall turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, and as perhaps you all know, Isaiah is spoken of frequently as the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament. And he has a great deal to say to us about the Son of God, as He set forth, I mean to say, the Scriptures that speak about His virgin birth. And then, of course, He does tell us, too, about the vicarious sufferings and death of the Son of God, and many more precious, precious truths for which we thank our God. But I want to speak especially today of His virgin birth as it is seen prophetically. Of course, we aren't going back to the first mention. It's rather dim and obscure there. However, it is brought out in a fuller way as we move from book to book throughout the whole of the Old Testament. But nothing could surpass what we have found in the prophecy of Isaiah. So we shall read in chapter 7 and verse 11, which says, "Ask thee a sign of the Lord, thy God. Ask it either in the depths or in the heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord." It seemed this man, Ahaz, the king of Israel, had very low thoughts as to God, and as to God's power, and as to God's ability. And so when he was given the opportunity of asking a hard thing, of asking a sign from the God of heaven, why, even intimated in those words, when the man of God comes to him and says to him, "Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above." In other words, the heaven is the limit, so to speak. You can invade every possible scene, and then after you have done that, you make your request, preparing this man of God, and certainly he was unmoved by it all, and his response to it was this, I will not tempt the Lord. Oh, could you imagine anyone so heartless? Could you imagine anyone so far removed from God's thoughts? Well, anyway, I'm glad to tell you that even although he would not ask for a sign, and even although he made no requests, we're glad to be able to tell you that God spoke further, and I'm going to call special attention to it. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Now listen to this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign, and this is the sign now. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, or God with us. Now, I may point out that this pledge and promise on the part of our God, and of course it was hard. Humanly, it was beyond mankind altogether. It was in the power of God, and alone in the power of God, to fulfill and to carry out that pledge, that promise, that a son, that a child would be born, not merely of a woman, but of the virgin. And we believe with all our heart and soul in the five precious truths that we've been speaking to you about, namely his virgin birth, his virtuous life, his vicarious death, his victorious resurrection, and we believe too in the visible return of our Lord Jesus. Now, I think it would be good to say a few things about the virgin birth as it's seen in prophecy, and we hope to notice another scripture or two as time permits, because, you know, we're living in days when the truth of the virgin birth is being assailed on every hand. It's being attacked not only by enemies that from whom you might expect it, but from some who fill the pulpits. Deny that precious truth concerning the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, as they say, it would be a human impossibility. And to this, we readily agree. It would be a human impossibility, but not a divine impossibility. For we think of the word spoken long ago to Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, as we have already intimated, this king, who had little or no grasp as to God and God's interest in Israel at that particular time, and so he seemed insensible to the whole thing and unable to rise in any sense to God's thoughts. But now we hear from the God of heaven, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, or God with us. And shall I point out to you that this prophecy was given some 740 years before it occurred. But you will remember, though, that a promise on the part of our God is just as good as though it were already fulfilled. The past, the present, the future with him is all one eternal now. Now, quickly, I want to turn with you to the ninth chapter of Isaiah, and we'll read together at about verse 5, which says, And for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Now, this is the verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now you notice in our last scripture we had that his name shall be called Emmanuel, that is to say, a God with us. But now when you come to the ninth chapter, we have something more detailed brought before us, and certainly something infinitely precious too. Unto us a child is born. Ah, we thank God for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would like to remind you that this was not his beginning. For you see, the scripture goes on to say, Unto us a child is born, unto us a son He is given. He was ever and always the Son, the eternal Son of the eternal God. Now, I like to think of Hebrews chapters 1 and 2. You know, in the first chapter, we get the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Under the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even Thy God, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows. But coming now to chapter 2, in that same wonderful epistle to the Hebrews, we get the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, His perfect humanity. He was in chapter 1 brought before us as very God, and then in chapter 2 He is seen as very man, and this combination found the fullest possible expression in the Son of God, very God, very man, apart from sin. Oh, we need to remind you, friends, that our Lord Jesus Christ was not a product of this earth. There was no sin in Him. Sinless, spotless, holy, harmless, and undefiled is spoken of our blessed, blessed Savior. But do we not thank God then today for His virgin birth? That promise that was given to us hundreds of years, I should again stress, more than 740 years before it occurred, God spoke to His servant Isaiah and made the announcement that a child would be born of the Virgin. The Virgin Mary, of course, was the instrument used by God to bring the Son of God into this world to give Him a body. Yes, thank God, it was a body that was prepared for Him. A body in which He lived but 33 years and then suffered the untold agonies of the cross and died our souls to win. But now if we were to go a little bit further on into the New Testament, we would see these prophecies fulfilled in the most minute way. You know, friends, as we have already stressed, whatever God says is just as good as if it were already fulfilled. And so if you were to turn even to the Gospel by St. Matthew and there to get an account of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of course the Scripture is very careful to tell us too. And if you turn to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, we read, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then, a little bit later on in this chapter, oh, I'm so glad and I'm so happy to be able to tell you that in verse 21 we read these precious words, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus. That was the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7 and the pledge and the promise given by God Himself. His name shall be called Jesus, sweetest name on earth, and He shall save His people from their sins. And I want you to know, friends, that my Savior, my blessed Savior, was without sin, and yet that one who was without sin became the sin purger, that He might bring men and women to Himself. I'm glad and I'm happy to be able to present Him to you today as the Savior. Best of all, if you trust Him, He would be your Savior too. Thank you for listening in, and if you received help today or in any of the previous messages, and if perhaps there have been some things that have not been made as clear as you'd like, we'd be glad to be of service to you in this respect. We'll send you valuable literature that will help Christians, or we'll send you other literature that will help to make plain God's way of salvation. We're interested in you, and our desire is that you might be helped and blessed of God. Don't forget to write us, Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas.